Good morning, everybody. Today we will be reading from Galatians. We're just going to be doing verse 26. Okay? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 26. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. All right, I'll read it one more time, so short. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. In the NIV, let me also read it from the NIV version. In the NIV, it says, let us not become conceited. So instead of the word boastful, it says conceited. And then it says provoking and envying each other. Amen. All right, let's just quickly pray. Father God in heaven, we just give thanks to you this morning in your word in Galatians. Would you, even just this short verse 26, would you help us to understand, and may this verse really convict ourselves, and that we would be more like you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so just a little context before we get into this. Prior to this verse, Paul just has been speaking on walking in the Spirit. So he's encouraging the people to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? And that's always our struggle. Our struggle, hopefully that's a struggle, right? Because if you have no struggle, the likeliness is you're probably just walking in the flesh. Because that's the natural thing, natural inclination that we do, to walk in the flesh. But we need to make that choice. We need to have awareness and discernment of what's going on in our hearts, search our hearts. And in those moments, we need to choose, make that choice, reliant on the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit, right? So that's what's going on. And just the overall context is Paul is addressing what the Judaizers have done, which is he's planted churches, different Galatian churches all over the place. And after he's planted them, those churches, and he's brought teaching about the good news, the gospel, where now you're free from the law, right? And you have, and the gospel message that Jesus brought. And what happened was these Jewish Christians that are referred to as the Judaizers have come in after Paul plants these churches, and they come in and share a different message, right? And they share this different message, which is basically why they call it this. They're telling the people, oh, yes, you guys are Christians now, but you need to embrace the Jewish way still if you want to be legit. So these Judaizers are calling these Gentiles to get circumcised, right? And basically embrace the old ways, go back to the old ways of, I guess, fulfilling the law and just striving and earning. And so Paul is dealing with this, right? Back to this earning paradigm, this law paradigm, the old ways. And so he's writing this letter to the church. And Paul, at the end of this chapter, verse 26, he's saying, let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And so if we're talking about spirit versus flesh, as Paul's telling us, let us not be boastful, then that would fall under the flesh. And, you know, he's saying this, And as we hear this message, let the Holy Spirit to you, right? Hopefully not to other people that you're thinking of. And he's sharing this because it's probably happening, right? This is something that, again, something that's very natural. We're all experiencing this. And so this first word, when he says, let's not become boastful, in the NIV, it says conceited, right? I feel like I haven't heard or used that word conceited in such a long time. I felt like it was like a word that was used in my gen, in my high school a lot. Like, oh, blah, 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 is so conceited. And I never really knew what it meant, I think. I think it was just one of those words you used, kind of implying like, oh, that person is so selfish. All they do is think about themselves, right? And so the Greek word that is used here in boastful slash conceited is the word, kenodoxai. Kenodoxai. And that's the Greek word. And the definition is glorifying without reason, vain, glorious, eager for empty glory. Empty glory. So there really is like no purpose behind it, or no real tangible purpose, right? And I think as I say that, I'm sure I know people like that, right? Like what comes to mind is, you know, people who love to show off, right? Who feel so highly of themselves, people who are of high, I don't know, who have a lot of money and they're just flaunting it, or they think they have so much authority when really they don't, right? Maybe they're just a loud voice. I don't know, right? It's coming where, you know, when we see that kind of behavior being exhibited, we're kind of like, you know, I mean, this is not coming from a good heart either, but maybe we're thinking, oh, who do they think they are? Right? Because we recognize there's no substance behind that. And so when someone is boastful or conceited or this, you know, kenodoxai, it is coming from a place of deep insecurity and a need to prove yourself to ourselves, but also prove yourselves to others, right? But it's coming from a place of deep insecurity. And the result of this conceitedness, boastfulness, are two things Paul shares. He shares that the result is challenging / provoking. And the NIV uses the word provoke, and envying, right? So it's kind of like two sides of a coin, right? The coin being conceitedness, but what happens when you, flip this coin? Conceitedness, provoking, or envy, right? And so when we're talking about, and this is result, again, it's coming out of a place of insecurity, coming from a place where you have to prove yourself. And when we're talking about this word provoking / challenging, it's also this Greek word, sounds a lot like provoking, prokaleo, right? Prokaleo. And it's like, you just have to win. You just have to win. And it's like, you just have to get the last word in. And I think, I mean, this is why I'm saying this, we should let, hopefully this passage speaks to you, right? And when I think of how it applies to me, totally applies to me, right? Especially in my marriage. Or even friendships, right? Just relationships where, you know, sometimes you're talking and you just have to prove your point, right? And I probably shared this. It's always quite embarrassing, but humbling, right? And there's been times where I've gone into arguments with my wife, right? And I'm so fixated on sharing about how I feel and wanting her to understand me that I'm sharing and sharing and sharing, and I'm so blinded, right? I'm just so, I guess, conceited. and self-centered that all I can see is what I, or I, all that matters is what I feel and think. And so I'm sharing and sharing and sharing. And at some point, not always, very rarely, hasn't happened in many years, many, many years, I think. At some point, she actually starts crying because she's so hurt and frustrated, right? And it's kind of like, and something just clicks in. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this even important, right? Does it really matter? I mean, at this point, usually I don't, we already lose sight of what we're even fighting about. I was like, is this even important when this is the result? And it's at that result, at that point, I totally changed my, not strategy, but my approach, right? Sincerely, where it's like, you know what? I don't really care about like you understanding this. I'm just so sorry of how I met you felt. Like through this interaction, through this, like that I would cause you to feel this. And it just felt like whatever we were arguing about, like, I don't know, probably more than this, like what's the best hamburger place? I don't know. But it's really almost that trivial, right? It was kind of like, what was the point? It's like, I was so focused on winning that really what happened was we lost. Because again, we're on the same team, right? My wife and I. But that's what happens, right? Is when we're in that place in conceit, we're gonna provoke, right? That's just what happens naturally. In all of us, we want to win. And then on the other side of the coin, right, I talked about the two things that happen is you either challenge and provoke or you envy. It's envy is to desire what belongs to someone else or want someone to not have it. And again, this happens very naturally in our flesh as well. When someone gets a compliment, right, you're like, how about me? And I mean, it's embarrassing, but this is the best example I can think of. I remember one time, like we had some guest speakers come and like guests who were like, you know, really prophetic. And then they had a word for Pastor Nate right there as he's walking by. Pastor Nate. And I think that was when they had a word for him, I remember, and they called him the model son. And I remember, I was like, there was this feeling where like, how about me? What am I? I've been around. How come I didn't get a word? And there was this envy that was creeping in. But I remembered. So this is where, again, are you walking the flesh or the spirit? Right? In that moment, my flesh was taking over. How about me? Why aren't I appreciated? Why doesn't he give me a word? Right? Why does Nate get a word? And in that moment, I had to stop myself. Right? The Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing? Right? Just because I'm complimenting someone else doesn't mean it's taking away from you what you have. It doesn't, that's not. And I had to be like, I had to basically fight that urge and tap into another place in me. Not that I was faking it. It was like really there as well, where I was happy for Nate, right? I was like, yeah, you know, he's a great brother in Christ. More than that, he's my friend, let's just say. I use that other word too much. He's my good friend. You know, I'm happy for him, right? That he would get this word, feel so encouraged, right? And it's kind of like, Both feelings of envy and also just genuinely happy for Nate, they were both there. And it was a choice into how I responded. Okay? And so when we're talking about these two things, how are they related, provoking and envy? So when we're talking about provoking, it's usually coming from a place of superiority, right? You don't usually you provoke someone who is, how do you say, not as superior, inferior. Usually, right? I see that perfectly exhibited in my children. My older daughter is always, there's two, like my younger son annoys my older daughter, but my older daughter is always provoking her younger brother, right? And so it's always coming place of superiority, where usually I think of also in the context of work, right? You're like, if you feel like you need to challenge, maybe that's a better word, challenging people, it's usually to someone that you're above. Versus envy is coming from a place of inferiority, right? You envy, you look up at the situation and you're like, oh, not fair. I want what they have, right? But both of them are coming from a place of conceit. Both are coming from a place of how another person makes you feel instead of how you make another person feel. And it's this thing of where it's coming from is in when we're provoking or envying, we're comparing ourselves, right? We're comparing them not good enough or comparing too good. I want what they have. And that is exactly what it means to walk in the flesh. It's also exactly what it means when we're talking about, I guess, the old ways, the law, which is I need to earn, I need to do this. Because when you're in this earning, I guess, paradigm, right? If you're trying to strive and get what you need, then of course, the natural overflow of that is then you start to compare, right? Because when you're earning, you're trying to get to the next level. How do you know you're at the next level? When you compare yourself to other people. And so when you're in this circumstances where you're in conflict or whatever, then you have something to prove, right? Because it's always a comparison. And so that's kind of the gospel versus works, right? The gospel, one of the Beatitudes is, what do you do when, what is it? When, well, turn the other cheek, right? But I forgot what comes before that, right? If someone, if your enemy, I guess, if they strike you, what do? You turn the other cheek, right? And that is kind of related to this, right? I think of, you know, other, like when we're talking about challenging and envy, it's kind of like, do you have a tendency, okay, here's some questions for you. Do you have a tendency to blow up or clam up? Do you tend to pick arguments or avoid confrontations? When criticized, do you get angry or get discouraged? Right? All of these responses, it comes from a place of insecurity and comparison. Right? Maybe you speak out in anger because you have something to prove. Right? Because you're feeling insecure. Or you don't talk at all and you clam up and you don't say anything when you should, because also you're insecure and discouraged and you don't feel. And so both those reactions are not good. That's walking in the flesh. And so what is walking in the spirit response? I guess in the instance of conflict, it really is, as Jesus commanded, you turn the other cheek. Turning the other cheek, right? Basically, if we're to use turn the other cheek figuratively in like more of an argument, it's like you don't need to defend yourself. How can you possibly do that? Just let people say or do or not defend yourself. How can you do that? Only through the gospel. Only through Jesus who gives you such security and value that you actually have nothing to prove, right? That's the only way possible. Hopefully, as you step into this teaching of turning the other cheek, one of the Beatitudes, and actually all the Beatitudes are kind of like coming from this heart of like nothing to prove, nothing to strive for or earn. You're doing it not just it's because it's a command, but you understand you don't need to, right? Because again, because Jesus has fully given you your value, you have nothing to prove. You have the Spirit to guide you, right? And I've been through that personally, and it's true, right? I've been in some recent situations where people are coming at you, bringing accusations. And I remember at the end of it, my wife was like so upset at me. She said, how come you didn't defend yourself? Why didn't you say more? And I was like, I just felt like I had nothing to prove, right? Because I felt like God was for me. He wasn't against me. And so I had God's support and affirmation. And so I didn't need to share all these things to defend myself. I just had to just share what was needed, right? And so, Sybil, if you can come up. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let's not do that. And so if you're doing that, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Where do you get your value from? Really? And it's okay to recognize and say to God, you know, I think I'm not actually getting my value from you. I'm actually getting it from man. I need to be right all the time. It's really hard for me to just let things go and just love. And then you have a choice, right? And Paul encourages to us, let's walk in the Spirit. Let's not walk in the flesh. Let's make that choice in this moment when things get hard and when things get difficult. And really, usually it's because of relationships, right? Let's not start challenging one another or envying one another. And so if this is something that's going on in your heart, let's just give it to the Lord. Let's give it to our Lord Jesus, who asks us to sacrifice and surrender these things to Him. And I know that He will walk with us through this and take these burdens off of us and desire for something that's greater. And that's to love one another.
Savior's birth.
Sybil. Oh, that was so nice. Yeah, but it's all about our Lord Jesus. You ever think about what your life would be like if you did not have the Lord Jesus in your life? I remember I was talking to a friend, not a believer, and I was sharing my faith, and he was just like, wow, it sounds so amazing that you don't have to run this rat race. That all these, you know, pressures from life, whether it be through work, family, responsibilities, that you can actually just trust God with it. And it made me realize, oh yeah, what would life be like without Jesus in your life? You would be running this rat race. You would be comparing yourself. You would be earning, striving for more. And there would be only really two options when things didn't work out. You would either work even harder to get what you wanted, or you would give up. But us, it's different. We don't have to go after more, or we don't have to give up. We can put our hope in our Lord Jesus. And he says, in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests, also with thanksgiving, make your requests known to him. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He can provide us that peace of mind, that contentment through him. And it's not through circumstances, not based on circumstances of the world or even our abilities. And so let's just take a moment between you and our Lord Jesus, and let's just give thanks. Let's just give thanks. We don't have to live for the world or just give in to our flesh, but there is something more, something so much greater that we have something to look after towards. Let's pray for our community. Let's turn to the slides. Let's cover our community. Let's care for our community. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and also going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's healing, for his strength and encouragement to touch these people. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from illness, but also in need of word of salvation. Let's pray for opportunities. Let's pray for good soil, that the hearts would be receptive and that there would be people with the boldness around these people to share. And of course, let's pray for healing and that God would use this healing to make himself known. Let's also pray for those suffering from infirmities. Let's also pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for Andrew, Sterling, Wesley, Albert. Let's pray for God to open doors and to guide them to a job that they are called to do. Go to our Tuesday prayers. Let's cover Hong Kong, the government wealth gap revival, churches, sports services, international, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in distress. Let's pray for our city. You guys could also pray for the staff. You can pray for unity, pray for rest, for that we would be good stewards as
people who work for the church, and that we would be purposeful. Yeah, just pray for us. Pray for the hospitality team, welcoming barista and logistics. Pray for the worship, sound, and AV team as well. That we continue to do our best as we lead in ministering to the Lord. Let's also cover our pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, Joan, and Common, and others. House churches are on break, but maybe we can just still pray for the house church leaders so that they would receive rest and just really enjoy this break. So we can pray for the house church leaders of Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K House, OPR, and Princeton. Jesus, we just thank you for this verse, a reminder to not respond as the world does, to be boastful and conceited and react in envy and challenging one another. Lord, we have nothing to prove, Lord. Nothing to prove to man, or even nothing to prove to ourselves, Lord. We just... We already receive our value as you being our creator, and because of the love that you have for us, we are already valued and satisfied. And so, Lord, yeah, we just give thanks that through this relationship and through what you did on the cross, that we've been set free from just walking and living in the rhythms of the world,
Lord, or our flesh, but we have something else to look forward to. And it's just simply what we have looking forward to now and forever is the pleasure you have over us, Lord, that you are pleased, and that even as we respond in your commandments and respond in obedience, it is simply to please you, to make you proud, Lord. And we're so grateful for this paradigm shift in our lives, Lord. And just be with us today, that we would continue to walk in the Spirit. Help us to discern and be so aware of the dealings and feelings in our heart, God, and that we would choose to respond in your ways and seek after you. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day.